great to be together. Welcome, friends and guests. We're glad that you're here. Welcome to all of you who are joining us by live stream or later online. We're glad that we're connected together and that we can worship together. My name is Rockford Johnson. It's a joy to serve as senior pastor along with so many good leaders here and the whole congregation as we engage in the mission that is ours together. So welcome. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing our connection pads as we do on Sundays so that you can leave us your name and let other people around you see who you are. So please help us with that today. We appreciate it. If you're online, of course, let us know you're worshiping with us. Go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and just let us know, or in the Facebook chat as well. Let us know how we can pray with you. We have prayer request cards here in the pews, and we have a button on the front page of our website where you can also do that. We gather those prayers and we make those a part of our praying on a weekly basis. So we appreciate you doing that. If you're here for the first time, we'd love for you to fill out a welcome card if you would be willing to, and leave that with one of the greeters at either door. And we have a gift bag for you. We'd love to give that to you. And if you happen to not find someone there for some reason, just take the bag anyway. It's yours. So thank you for being here. We have someone among us today, Mark, the videographer. He's the cameraman that you might see. Now, Mark really likes to be ignored, so you can just be rude to him and ignore him, and he really likes that. So if you see him wandering around a little bit, taking some pictures, he's not broadcasting, he's just gathering footage to help us tell our story. And so thank you for being aware of that today. We want you to be aware that the Norman Philharmonic has chosen this sanctuary as the venue for the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration concert that happens on Monday evening, January 17 at 7:30. It's now slated to be a limited seating with distancing and possibly live streamed. The Philharmonic rents our facility and they do their own ticketing as a nonprofit, and so you would need to go to their website, normanphil.com, if you want to know more information or details about that. It's wonderful, I think, that on Friday they're bringing in a large group of Norman area school children for a Meet the Composer concert on Friday morning, I believe it is, an educational concert. You know, this concert and other kinds of events like that are a good time when we might want to bring a friend and introduce them to our facilities and let them see the beauty of the sanctuary and hear great music. And so if you want to do that, we invite you to do so and introduce your friends and neighbors to this wonderful church. This is the year that God is making. And so as we enter into this year on the second Sunday of January, let us engage with God, even as we engage in worship today. So would you stand, please, to sing our first hymn, number 62, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you. join together in our litany of commitment that is printed in the bulletin, and those worshiping online, the words will be on the screen. To each of us is given a branch of life to be used at our discretion. May we decide to plant ourselves in rich soil. To each of us is given a portion of sun and rain and nourishment, but still we choose whether we will enjoy the gifts. May we choose to drink deeply of the sustenance around us. To each of us is given an audience with the gardener. Will we decide to accept the invitation? May we decide to heed the wisdom of the gardener. To each of us is given the opportunity for success and also the opportunity to not succeed. May we choose to flourish with the life God offers.
You may be seated. Let us join together in a time of prayer. Most holy and gracious God, this morning we come before you once again. We come before you thinking about this past year and all that we've experienced and witnessed and gone through. But more importantly, oh God, we stand this morning at the beginning of a new journey. A new opportunity for us to once again experience you, to praise you, to see you, to witness you, and to share you. And we ask, O God, that as we embark upon this journey together and individually, collectively, that you will walk with us, that you will give us guidance. But as we shared this morning in our opening litany, we recognize that each and every one of us gets to choose whether or not we will live into the life that you have created and hoped for us, or we choose to live without you. We choose to love others the way that you ask us to, or we choose to not love others. We have the opportunity to experience you time and again, or we have the opportunity to simply ignore you. This morning, oh God, I would ask that you would bless me and watch over me so that I can witness and experience you. That you would bless this great congregation, this collection of people, diverse and different and amazing, gifted and talented, incredible. And that you would bring us together to use that which you've blessed us with to truly change the world, to flourish. Not just to say that we're big and beautiful and amazing, but to flourish so that your kingdom here on earth will flourish. Lord, we know all around us there is suffering, there is hurt, there is uncertainty. And we have the opportunity once again to stand on the rock of truth and salvation and hope. And we have the chance to invite others to experience that. I would ask, O God, this morning that you would hear our prayers, that you would know us once again so deeply and intimately that you know the things that worry us, the things that scare us, the things that overwhelm us, that you would also hear our joys, those chances that we have every day to share with you the experiences where we once again got to see you in our friends, see you in our family, see you in the experiences that we have, and that we can turn and give you thanks. God, this morning, all across our nation and around our world, people gather together to praise you, to seek forgiveness from you, to ask for help from you. And all of us have once again the opportunity to gather as one heart and mind in you. And we have the chance to witness that in a very real way as we share the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 707, Hymn of Promise. 707. Please stand.
As we move into this new year, we are not exactly sure what 2022 will bring. And yet, as people of faith, we look for possibilities for our lives, for God's world. And although everything is not perfect, we know that God's love and mercy and compassion and faithfulness are real, and they are powerful. And when we live according to God's ways, we really can flourish. And we can change lives that change the world. And so we ask that you would give generously this day so that God's love and God's hope are made known in our lives, in this place, and all throughout the world. And so may God bless our tithes and our offerings. You may be seated.
We believe that this is Jesus. Come and see, come and see. We believe that this is Jesus. Come and see, come and see. The light of God lights up his face. He offers up redeeming grace.
Come and see.
did you ever see such love before? Come and see, come and see. Go in peace and sin no more. Come and see, come and see. Come and see, we believe that this is Jesus. Come and see, come and see. We believe that this is Jesus. Come and see, come and see. We believe that this is Jesus. Come and see.
May be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 15. Hear now these words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. To the music of the lute and the harp, and to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we come as those who are seeking today. Always we need to hear your Spirit speaking to us through the Word. Always there are those among us who need consolation. And so we pray that you would nurture our lives in these moments together. We pray that you would guide us, give us wisdom, that you would lift us up, that you would convince us of your promise and your care and your calling. And so, for our lives, for our families, for our church, for the mission we share, we come listening in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. Picked ripe, delivered fresh, into your hands just hours off the tree. That's the promise made by the Peach Truck, a company that claims they are in the business of delivering joy. Jessica and Stephen Rose moved to Nashville in 2010, and now Stephen had spent most of his childhood summers at a peach farm in his hometown of Fort Valley, Georgia. A problem soon developed. Stephen could not find a great, wonderful, ripe, beautifully tasting peach in all of Nashville. And he was well and truly homesick for that perfectly ripened and juicy peach that grew up with him in his hometown. In 2012, they partnered with Stephen's hometown farm and loaded up their 1964 Jeep Gladiator with hand-picked just off the tree peaches. And customers quickly understood their obsession with this and ate 10 tons of these brown-bagged peaches in just 5 weeks. Their family blossomed and their new peach truck business flourished, now delivering delicious, delectable peaches each summer in many states across the nation, like the Colorado Cunningham peach truck that makes its way to Norman, Oklahoma. But here's the thing, of course. We do not get the joy of succulent, sweet peaches without the flourishing of the tree. The woody tree with its roots spread in the soil must cover itself in beautiful blossoms filled with the promise of a miracle. It must flourish. To flourish is to flower, of course, to burst into signs of hope. Flourish is a good wish for a new year. As we step into this second week of January, I come with a promise. We heard it from the psalm. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Those who are faithful are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the gardens of God, the courts of our God. They are always green, always fresh, even when challenge comes. Persons and families and churches who live close to and trust deeply in God, like a palm tree at an oasis in the desert, shall flourish, even if pain comes, like a late freeze that steals some of the blossoms, or if challenges interrupt, like a dry summer. People whose faith is firmly grafted to the heart of God shall blossom and bear fruit. With this good news, with this promise, we begin the year of 2022. And some of us enter this new year with bags of trouble or pain or worry from the distant or the recent past, and we may be tempted to think this will be a year of withering. Some of us enter with empty sacks, either sure or determined that we will fill them or they will be filled with good things. Some of us just enter to see what comes to us or what comes at us. All of us are invited to believe that by grace, through faith, we will enjoy the delicious and sustaining fruit of life lived faithfully. But there's no fruit without the flower, and no flower without the tree. There cannot be baskets full of fruit trucking the highways with that wonderful fruit without wonderful trees, trees that flourish and bear good fruit. Wendell Berry describes a scene in one of his poems titled A Meeting. A scene I imagine is taking place somewhere in the wooded countryside of Kentucky, perhaps between two men of some country township. A man has a dream, and in the dream meets a good friend who passed away quite some time ago. And he perceives that the friend has traveled long and far during their time apart. And he notes how his long-lost friend looks the same as he did before, like he hasn't aged. And then he asks this friend how he has been. And the friend looks at him and smiles with a telling smile and says, "I've been eating peaches off some mighty fine trees." I kind of like that image of paradise, that the garden of God, home to the great company of the faithful, is populated with peach orchards of mighty fine trees. As I look out to you who are listening and engaged in worship today, I see an orchard of very fine trees. I see a church full of potential, energized by the grace of God, capable of producing a rather stunning crop of joy and love and peace and generosity and patience and kindness and self-control and gentleness and faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit. I see individuals rooted in faith, seeking nourishment from the living water of God's Spirit. I see you capable of repeatedly springing to life and bearing fruit that lasts. I see families growing together, working and playing together, worshiping and serving together, and making beautiful moments and memories together. I see disciples of the way of Jesus and seekers of the wisdom of Jesus yearning to be nurtured in the faith and eager to make a difference for good and for God in the lives of others. I see some mighty fine trees. Trees enjoying life in close proximity to God, able to thrive and bear fruit in spite of challenges. But before the fruit, there must be the flourish. No peaches without blossoms, no cobbler or jam or jelly without the bloom. In another poem by Lee Young Lee called From Blossoms, he remembers a glorious summer day when he and a friend or a family member were driving along and they saw a sign that said, peaches. As we imagine them standing there under a hot summer sun, having purchased a bag full of those peaches, he launches into extended references to how the peaches came from the laden branches, from the hands that picked them, from what he calls sweet fellowship of the peaches in the bin. How the sweet, succulent fruit comes in that familiar, dusty skin, and how when we eat them, we carry something of the whole orchard with us. And he soars with delight, telling that such simple, joyful experience temporarily banishes all negative thoughts. And he ends simply celebrating the wonder that the bag full of delicious fruit almost miraculously comes, as he puts it, from blossom to blossom to sweet, impossible blossom. It does seem almost impossible that from a ragged, woody branch on a relatively small tree with not so deep roots and from a spot on the branch marked by just a little vulnerable flower would come such a pure, edible joy from the flower, from the flowering tree, from the flourish comes the fruit. So today, at the beginning of this year, I hear the promise and offer you the promise that even though challenges may come, you and yours and we and us and ours shall flourish in 2022. We'll flourish so that we can produce and enjoy the fruit of God's Spirit alive among us, and as I note in my New Year's letter, coming out this week, flourish, as you might have guessed, is our theme for 2022. In his book titled Flourish, Martin Seligman identifies the five marks of human flourishing. Of course, the five marks that he names are not new. We find them in our scripture and tradition and our experience. His, though, was a fresh effort to lift them up for focus and attention and implementation as part of what is now called positive psychology. Now, don't be afraid. We're not going to spend a year giving you psychological positive thinking. We are talking about a baptized, faith-generated, Spirit-inspired, Scripture-rooted flourishing that takes each of these five deeper and higher and wider into our lives. The first of the five is positive emotions. It includes feelings of joy and gratitude and serenity and interest and hope and amusement and inspiration and awe and love, of course. And all of these are owned and made available by the life of faith, and especially so when negation comes knocking at our door. Then we need our faith to then have positive emotions. All of us will continue to have negative experiences that spur negative emotions, but rooted in God, intentionally being formed in the way of Jesus and thriving by faith like a mighty fine tree, each of us can move into a positive spiral where positive emotions beget positive emotions supported by our faith. And in that sense, we reap what we sow. The second is engagement, an indication of flourishing. Engagement is that experience of being in the flow, or in the zone, as we say, of losing sense of time and being caught up in the experience. The prophet Isaiah describes such an experience. He says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the presence of God filled the temple." Week to week, we can be so engaged in this hour of worship where music and prayer and scripture and the preached word, like Velcro, wraps us tight to the felt presence of God, the God of the universe, who is as near as our breath and our heartbeat. It takes some curiosity, though. It takes some letting go and letting God. But we can enjoy the capture of our core, the capture of our inner being, the capture of our true self by the Spirit of God. And having been so spiritually engaged, we are then better equipped to engage well in family and work and play. In all of life, relationships are the third sign of flourishing. Of course, religion, faith, church, mission work is all about relationships, relating to a loving God and relating with and loving one another. In fact, one anothering is a constant highlight of God's message for us. As many as 59 times in the New Testament, we are told to love, encourage, forgive, be patient with, serve, and help one another, one another, one another. We build and experience such relational one anothering here in the church through small groups and through Sunday school classes and special gatherings and mission service projects and fellowship and ministry teams and in all kinds of ways. We want to help that happen. We want to help you with family relationships and your workplace, teamwork relationships through faith formation. We know that strong, faith-based relationships lower stress, promotes healing, good mental health, and increases satisfaction with life and may even cause us to live a bit longer. The fourth is meaning. Well, you know, the church has always had the corner on the market for meaning. Because meaning comes from belonging to or serving something or someone larger than ourselves, some greater mission. And we are engaged in the great, eternal, cosmic, but real life mission of changing lives and seeing lives change that then engage in changing pieces of the world. And that's meaningful. We engage with each other in deeply meaningful ministry, like feeding children and building homes, and in once-in-a-lifetime moments like birth and baptism and death and dying and confirmation. We delve in the spirit stuff of ultimate meaning, salvation, and eternal life. We're in the business of meaning. Accomplishment is the fifth of the five that makes us flourish. Most of us thrive on accomplishment in some way or another. Like fruit, it contains the seeds of further achievement. It gives us meaning and positive emotions. In the scriptures, we hear Jesus urging us to produce fruit, to to grow and have a growth mindset, to reach what we might call goals. As lead pastor, I constantly work towards outcomes and ask our team leaders to also set outcomes, identify outcomes, and move toward those and lead toward those. The church is here to actually do something, grow something, change something. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to invite people to make that choice and make that commitment if they've not already done that. We are called to make a Jesus-defined difference in persons and families and the world, positive differences that are measurable and describable. We are here to help you accomplish life, to move through life, to find its joy, to flourish even in times of drought or freeze. We are here to help you accomplish personal life and family life and work life and community life and spiritual life. Ultimately, we are here to accomplish the mission of God in Jesus Christ. So here are a few of this year's sermon and study series that are designed to help us flourish by increasing our experience of all these five factors. Next week begins a series on finding wisdom to navigate disruptions to what has been, to what used to be normal, and to find what we might call a new, deeper, faith-defined new normal. During Lent, we focus on what it means for each and all of us to live standing on the promises of God. Starting with Easter and through May, we'll explore a return to laughter, believing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And at back to school time, we'll turn our attention to the greatest virtue in all of life, in all of Scripture, the frequently talked about but always timely and indispensable value of pure love as defined in Scripture. The love that is so essential to our emotions, our engagement, our relationships, and our search for meaning and what we desire to accomplish. And we'll end the year, of course, fully engaged in the great grand story of the advent of the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to flourish. I want our church to flourish. I want your family to flourish, so that you might enjoy the fruit of the life of faith, and that others and the world might enjoy the fruit of our lives and our church. And so may it be true this year that you and those around you are frequently heard saying, "I've been eating peaches off some mighty fine trees." Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your grace and how you've given us this life to live. And now we pray that you'll send us searching, seeking, acting, choosing, following, receiving, embracing all the steps that you lead us to take in this year. Courageous against the challenges, certain of the flourish. In the name and the way of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand to sing number 89, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee"? So we have a year to live. Let's go and do that, following all the guidance of the Spirit, all the grace of Jesus Christ, all the goodness and the mission of God. And so may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that you may flourish in this year by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.